Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you tonight. We love you. We thank you for this night. Thank you that we can worship together, Lord, on this, the Lord's day. Lord, we know you've told us, Lord, in your kingdom, to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, Lord, especially as your return draws nigh. And Lord, we know and believe it could be very well nigh tonight. And Lord, I pray that we'd be looking for your soon return, but at the same time, Lord, doing all that we can do to fulfill the mission that you've given us, Lord, to spread the gospel, evangelize the lost, edify this local church, be all that we need to be, Lord, to contend and keep the faith. Lord, I thank you that we can lift up our voices tonight in song as our hearts draw near to Christmas story, the babe in the manger, Christ the Savior, the Lamb. Lord, we thank you for that and how it ties into Calvary. We ask for your blessing tonight with Charlie on what he's been praying over and preparing, Lord. You help him just to preach it, Lord, with the freedom of the Holy Spirit. Apply it to our hearts, Lord, that we would leave tonight taking a step of growth in our Christian walk. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Stay standing as our song leader comes.
Hymn number 205, Infant Holy, Infant Lowly. It is the Christmas season, 205. Two stanzas.
It's not in the bulletin, but I want you to open your hymnal to our next song, and I'm going to give you a quick hymn history about it. This is a Christmas hymn, 197. You can just stay seated and open it to 197, and I'm going to give you a little hymn history, and then Shane's going to come. We're going to sing that hymn, and we're going to try to do a hymn history most Sunday nights. We won't do it next week because of the cantata, but to give a hymn history that ties in with some of our Christmas hymns. You may or may know some of the stories associated with some of them, but you may not. And so this next hymn, 197, it came upon a midnight clear. I think many know the title. You probably know the first stanza, many by heart. You know the tune. If you'll take a look down there at the bottom, you probably won't recognize these two names. The words, the lyrics, were written by Edmund Sears. 1810, he lived 1876, and then the music, put the music later on, Richard Willis, 1890 to 1900. Sometimes you may look at those names, you may not think anything about them, you may recognize the name, you may wonder, did these two men know each other? It sort of overlaps on the dates there. What was the story? Was this written to be a song? And so just give you a quick story on that from the little book, A Hymn is Born, by Clint Bonner. It's an older book here. And so, short story. Berkshire County is in western Massachusetts. Maybe some of you hail from up that area. Dave right here is Massachusetts. Maybe some others. And it's in Berkshire County, known in an area called Berkshire Hills. Across Massachusetts, a little town of Weston. Now, few people living in this area, at least back then, had ever heard of a modest little minister named Edmund Sears. He was a preacher who, during his lifetime of 66 years, lived in that little area his entire life. He was born in Stansfield a century and a half ago. He spent most of his life serving in a little church at Wayland, Massachusetts, and he died and was buried in Weston. With a doctor's degree from Harvard, Edmund Sears was equipped to fill a metropolitan pulpit, meaning in the eyes of man, he had a degree to be in a large church in a large city. But he had grown up in the Berkshire Hills, and he just loved the relaxed life of a simple town. For there, removed from distractions of the city, he pastored and would write often for a magazine, the monthly religious magazine, of which he was the associate editor. Now, while he was a young minister of 24, he wrote a Christmas song, Christmas hymn. It was called Calm on the Listening Ears of Night. That was in 1834. This number is rarely sung today. Most people have never heard of it. 12 years later, the minister wrote another Christmas poem. But since his first Christmas poem had met with only mild success, he put the new poem he wrote on his desk, and there it lay for 3 years. Maybe that's like your desk, all right? Then, just before Christmas in 1849, he took the poem from his desk, and under the title, Peace on Earth, he titled it, he sent it to a publisher of a religious magazine. And there it lay on the publisher's desk for at least another year. Finally, in 1850, Dr. Sears' poem was published just as a poem. Edmund Sears lived quietly, and he died quietly. Few people, even in the small town where he lived, even knew who he was, where he was born, where he ministered, and most had forgotten his name. All told, he wrote 5 books. They have been forgotten. He wrote about 100 articles, poems, and hymns. Most of these, too, have been forgotten. But no sooner had his poem, Peace on Earth, been published in the Christian magazine than it was put to music by a composer, Richard Willis. And although both the author and the publisher thought so little of it, it hadn't even been printed for over 4 years, it's found today in almost every Christian hymnal around the world and has been called one of the finest Christmas carols ever written. Let's just take a look there on 197. Let's look at the first stanza. It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels tending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven, all gracious King, the world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. Of course, the verse there that this hymnal has given is Luke 2:13. There was with the angel a multitude praising God. So, you've got that hymnal open. How about you stand as Shane comes? Let's sing this hymn, It Came Upon the Midnight Clear.
That's 197, or if you're not there already, 197. Second, ladies, still.
Oh,
may be seated at this time. Thank you, Seth. Silent night, holy night. Let's take our songbooks one more time. This time we'll turn to 202. We'll remain seated as we sing 202. We'll sing the first and the last stanza, first and last, of 202. Good Christian man, rejoice with heart and soul. Say, news, news, Jesus Christ is born today. Ox and ass before him bow, and he is in the manger now. Christ is born today. Christ is born today. On the last stanza, good Christian man, rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Peace, peace, Jesus Christ was born to save. Calls you one and calls you all to heed the everlasting call. Christ was born to save. Christ was born to save. All right, thank you so much. Bye.
Good evening. During the service, I leaned over to Pastor and I asked him, how much time do I have to preach? And he said, doesn't matter, just preach. And it reminded me of I have a poem in the flyleaf of my Bible here. And at one point, it says this, let not time be a restriction, just preach on. If a sinner's got conviction, then preach on. Christ can save his soul from hell, cleanse his heart, and make him well. Even if it's after 12, just preach on. So there's several more stanzas of that. If you want to see that, just see me after the service here. Pastor also gave me a book, too, a biography on Adoniram Judson. Several years prior, I had read the biography of Adoniram Judson, and it was the big one, too, just, you know, very heavy, very long, and I got through it, and this one's abbreviated, but I've been reading through it, and it's been bringing back a lot of memories from the first book that I read, and going. It's been a blessing to go over read his life again, and it's just what strikes me about Adoniram Judson, and many missionaries like him that we know, like Hudson Taylor, William Carey, Amy Carmichael, so on and so forth. They went through great trial, great tribulation, and Adoniram, he went through, he had three wives, not at all at the same time. Two of them died in his lifetime, and he lost about at least five children while on the mission field. And also, during his time in Burma, he would be falsely accused of espionage and jailed for 21 months. And then when he would be, it wasn't a proper jail as you're thinking of it. It was more of a bamboo cage, and then they would let him out during the day on a leash, on a stick in the middle of the yard. And then when they finally released him, he came home to his wife and child emaciated. And these people went through great hardship, but yet they persevered. They kept on doing the work that God had called them to do. They didn't give up. And the thought came to me, why is that? Why did they persevere? Why did they persevere? This morning, Pastor Cromart asked me if I had a poem in 3 points. Well, here's the poem. But so I got the poem. But let's hear some words from Amy Carmichael, what her heart was, what were her thoughts about sticking with it, about what kept her on the field. And this poem is called Flame of God by Amy Carmichael. From prayer that asks that I may be sheltered from winds that beat on thee, from fearing when I should aspire, from faltering when I should climb higher, from silken self, O captain, free thy soldier who would follow thee, from subtle love of softening things, from easy choices, weakenings. Not thus are spirits fortified, not this way went the crucified. From all that dims thy Calvary, O Lamb of God, deliver me. Give me the love that leads the way, the faith that nothing can dismay, the hope no disappointments tire, the passion that will burn like fire. Let me not sink to be a clod, make me thy fuel, flame of God. And I think when you read these stories of these people, and even before they even reached the field, they had a great love for God. Simply this, they knew God loved them. And they knew that they loved God. That's what made them so different. They knew God loved them, and they knew that they loved God. But I think often many Christians, born-again Christians, I'm talking to born-again Christians, often have trouble with the thought and understanding, does God love me? In knowledge, they know, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me. Yeah, I know that. But yet they still struggle. I don't feel like God loves me. I just don't feel it. I don't feel it. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit sheds abroad the love of God in our hearts. The first thing I want to challenge you with tonight is from these people's lives, is that they knew God loved them. Do you know that God loves you? Are you assured of that? And as the Bible says, are you abiding in that? We've been going through Jude, and in Jude 21, it says, keep yourselves in the love of God. I heard one preacher describe it like this, keeping yourself in the love of God, like keeping yourself like in a cold early morning. It's cold, it's dark outside, but then there's a ray of sunshine. And what would you do? You stand where it's warm, right? Keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself in that ray of sunshine. But how do you know that Jesus loves you? How do you know that Jesus loves you? I'm not going to have you turn to any passage right now. Very soon I am. But the first thing is, Christ died for you. Christ died for you. Don't let your mind and your heart pass over that easily, haphazardly. Why are we always talking about the gospel and Christ dying on the cross? I mean, can we get onto some more things, newer things? I mean, we already have the Lord's Supper once a month. We already do that. No. The greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Christ died for you. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us. Maybe you should change the pronouns in some of these verses. But God commendeth his love toward me, and that while I was a sinner, Christ died for me. But also, secondly, how do you know Jesus loves you? Christ cares for you. He does. How do you know? Take your Bibles. Turn it to John 10. Turn it to John 10. But does Christ see me? Does he know where I'm at? Does he love me just as much as anybody else? John 10. Start in verse 13. The hireling is talking about the sheep and the good shepherd. The hireling, verse 13, fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. Let me add a word. But I am the good shepherd and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Go back. He cares for you. That hireling? Anybody else? They don't care as much about you as does your shepherd. Go back to verse 14. Let me highlight a few words here for you. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. If you're here in this building right now and you're born again, rest assured, Christ knows his sheep. And he knows who you are because you're his sheep. Also, let's look at the third thing. How do I know that Christ loves me? Christ's love does not cease for you. You know? What you do doesn't dictate God's love for you. It doesn't, it doesn't, If you start doing real good and what pleases him, his love is even greater for you, but then, oh, you mess up, and then, oh, you know, his love is just, yeah. You know, he kind of loves you now. No, it's not how it is. It's not how it is. You may not feel like God loves you because you've stepped out of that ray of sunshine. You haven't kept yourself in the love of God. John 15:9 says this, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." Christ's love does not stop, cease for you. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Let that sink in. Christ is saying, he's the Son of God. The same way that God the Father loves me, that is the same way I love you. Christ's love is not going to stop for you. And if you still have any doubts, you still need more encouragement, does God love me? I've written down several verses that I just want to read to you. Romans 8:38-39. "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Revelation 3:19-20. "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." Isaiah 54:10. "For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee." Jeremiah 31:3. "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish." John 16:27. "For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved him," loved me, "and I believe that I came out from God." 1 John 4:16. "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." God loves you. He does. But the question stands, you know, these people, we saw that they knew God loved them, but secondly, they knew that they loved God. And that's really the question here tonight. There's no question that God loves us. But have we stepped out of God's love, out of that sunshine? Have we keep yourself in the love of God? "Continue ye in my love." Do we love God? God loves us, but do we love God? Take your Bibles, Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Matthew 22. The Pharisees are here. They're talking. They've heard that the Sadducees have been put down by Jesus. So they try to go to Jesus and try to tempt Jesus. Verse 36. "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Verse 37. Matthew 22. "Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." Tonight, I want us to examine. I think here in this verse is an examination. Here we can examine our love for God. We have the first and great commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. If you look in Deuteronomy and in the book of Luke, they add their might and strength as a fourth. The thing, when we start looking at this, heart, soul, mind, even strength, you know, you can't love in one point and not love in the rest. That's not the point of that verse. That, oh, yeah, I love God in my heart, but not so much in my mind, in my soul. And then my strength? Well, no. It's all or nothing. It's all or nothing, right? Because where your heart is, or where your mind is, doesn't your soul and the rest naturally follow? No, this is an examination of your love. So you can examine yourself, your mind, your heart, your soul. Is it love God? Is it where God is? Is it dwelling in the love of God? The heart. The heart is the place of one's will, desires, emotions, and values. Where's your heart? I know we already examined, we had a time of examination this morning. In the Lord's Supper, maybe, this is just what the Lord has laid on my heart to preach on tonight. But examine your heart. Where is your will? Where is your desires? Where are your emotions and your values? Are they lying in God's hands? Or are they elsewhere? Love not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is of the world. It's not of the Father. The soul. The soul is one's power of life. Their will to live. What I mean, the soul. You know, when you look, you know, our New Testament was originally written in Greek. And the word behind soul there is life. It's life, our life. You know, many of you know that my brother is in the hospital. He has been for quite some time. He had a liver transplant. And it looks like he's going to be in there for quite some time more. And it's because his body isn't healing as it should. Some of the doctors, they told my dad, frankly, that, you know, he's not healing like he should because he doesn't have any reason to live. And his body is responding that way. We're praying for him that he'd find hope in Christ, that he'd turn to Christ and be saved. But his will to live, his soul, has no reason to live. Where is your soul at? What is the reason you get up in the morning? What is the reason that you can sleep well at night? Is the Savior of your soul still the Savior of your soul? Where is your soul? Where is your heart? Is it God's? Is it in the love of God? The mind is one's intellect, understanding, and thoughts. Where's your mind? Where's your mind? Again, it's very hard when your mind is not in the love of God, for your soul and your heart to follow. And we're examining our hearts, our souls, our minds. What do you think about? What do you meditate on? A couple years back, I was listening to Ron Comfort. Maybe some of you know him. He's an evangelist. He was the founder of Ambassador Baptist College, where I graduated. And he preached one message at my church, and it was called, Have You Left Your First Love? Have you left your first love? And he asked us to write 9 things down in the flyleaf of our Bible, and I have it written here in my flyleaf of my Bible. And it's called Evidences When You Leave Your First Love. What will happen? How can you tell when you have left your first love? And he gives 9 things. The first one is, you will neglect the word. You will neglect the word. Second, you will have little time for secret prayer. Having alone time with God when you're on your knees, pouring out your heart to him. Third, you will have a growing fondness of the world and technology. And say that again. You will have a growing fondness of the world, the things that the world has to offer to make you happy. And technology. Why technology? Because technology, in the time that we live in, it's easy for technology to connect us to the world. Fourth, you will be satisfied on your spiritual plateau. You'll be satisfied on your spiritual plateau. You'll have plenty. Fifth, you will have petty excuses to avoid the house of God. Sixth, you'll be discontent and fault-finding. Seventh, you'll have a decreasing anxiety to see souls saved. Eighth, you'll have increasing insensitivity to sin. Oh, no big deal. No big deal. I'll just ask God to forgive me again. Ninth, you'll have a casual attitude to spiritual things. You have a casual attitude to spiritual things, to preaching. And there's only 9 things here, but if I could add a tenth from 1 John. When you've left your first love, you'll have little thought, care, or love for your fellow brothers in Christ. So again, when we look at this people, they knew God loved them. And they knew that they loved God. Where are you at tonight? Are you struggling with, does God love me? Does God love me? Or are you struggling with, you know, a lot of those things, looking at Matthew 22, or even that list that I just read, a lot of those things hit home. A lot of those things hit home. So the last thing I want to cover is, how do I stay in the love of God? How do I abide in the love of God? And I don't have a lot for you. It's kind of simple. First thing is, you need to accept his love for you. You need to accept his love for you. Oh, God couldn't love me. He doesn't really care that much about me. Does he really know who I am personally? Yes. He died for you. 1 John 4:19 says this, we love him because he first loved us. Now, let me ask you a question. I think there's quite a few married couples in here. Who's all married in here? Okay, a lot. Cool. So let me ask you a question. So when one, and I don't know who initiated what, you know, you know, the relationship. But so, but when they start showing love to you, what did you do? You can answer me.
Respond.
What?
Respond.
Respond. Respond. And you know, I looked up the etymology of the word respond. It comes from the Latin word respond. I'm not even going to try to say it, but it means to pledge back, to pledge again. 1 John 4:19. Let me change the pronouns. I love him because he first loved me. First thing is accept his love. See, he loves you. Go back through some of those passages I read. Read them. And then accept his love. And return it. Give him everything. That is the point of Matthew 22. Heart, soul, mind. And if I can add the fourth one, strength. Strength. What are your strengths? What do you spend your strength? Maybe your strength is your body. Maybe your strength is your mind. Maybe it's your trade. What are you expending it on? Does it mirror what you love? Heart, soul, mind, strength. Again, everything. Give him your heart. And then last, abide in Christ's love. Think of Jude 21 too. Keep yourself in the love of God. Abide in Christ's love. Yeah, as we're wrapping up, turn your Bibles to John 15 again. John 15. John 15. We read one of these verses earlier. John 15, verse 9. John 15, verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Then verse 10, he tells us how. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. How do I stay in God's love? This. You remember that first point on the first evidence of when you've left your first love? What was it? Does anybody remember? Neglecting the word. You want to abide in God's love first. Accept his love for you. I love him because he first loved me. Give him everything. Heart, soul, mind. All of it. If you hold one thing back, then he doesn't have any of you. And then abide in his love. Abide in his love. Right here. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your only begotten Son, Lord, to die for us while we were yet sinners. God, thank you for drawing each one of us that know the Lord to you, to know you, to be known by you. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to abide in your love, to keep ourselves in the love of God. God, Lord, we know that those that you love, you chasten. And Lord, if we've wandered out of the love of God, Lord, help us to be zealous tonight, to be zealous and repent, to open the door and let you into our hearts and have everything. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. As we prepare for short invitations, there's things to chew on. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world. We know that God initiated the love. He loved us first, even if we love him, do not love him back. It's his desire that we love him, and we respond, we accept that free gift, and then, to, as he said, to continue in his love. So the question tonight, as we prepare for brief invitation, most of us would immediately, without thinking, if we said, do you love God, you raise your hand. Of course I love God. But he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So are you in the love of God? Are you keeping yourself there? Do you love him enough to share the good news with others? You remember the last time you got excited about sharing with others the love of Christ? Would you get more excited about getting out of church early? Seriously. Than sharing the good news with someone else? Would you get more excited about Christmas and all the stuff that goes around Christmas? And just than it is just a simple fact of opening the Word of God, spending time with the Lord, praying, obeying His commandments, serving and meeting the needs of others. Excellent points. How do you know you have left your first love? I trust that's not true of any of us. So let's have a brief time of invitation. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pianist is going to sing. No, the pianist is going to play, not sing. Mr. Aaron's like, what? Heads are bowed. He's going to play the piano. Will the Holy Spirit prick your heart in any way, child of God? Have you begun? Now, I know you can easily say, well, it's a busy time of year, and I've just got off track a little bit. So much going on, I just haven't been able to be in the Bible as much or praying. And I know, but it's just. Once everything's over, I'll get back to it. Is that what you say every year? Is that what you could say every month? Remember, he said you have easy excuses, quick excuses. Little reasons why excuses you're not really walking with the Lord. I just don't feel good. And things are tough at work. I'm a little stressed. Got a lot of stuff going on. Quick excuses why you're not in the love of the Lord. Why your Bible's not open. Why you're spending a lot of time in the things of the world, Satan's kingdom. And those things draw your attention rather than God. Why you don't share the good news. Why maybe you're dabbling in things that God says is sin and he hates. And the things that God loves are not that important to you. Oh, that we would love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our mind, and all our soul. So let the piano play. If God's worked in your heart and you need to get some things right with God, you can do it right there in the pew. Perhaps you need in humility to kneel right there at the pew, get some things right with God. Maybe you need to go to someone. Maybe you need to make some specific decisions. This Monday is not going to be like all the other Mondays. This Sunday night's going to not be like all the other Sunday nights. This December's not going to be like all the other Decembers, where my love wanes and I'm really distant from my Savior. You may be here tonight and you don't know Christ as Savior. You need to get that settled right now tonight and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves you and gave himself for you. Keep yourselves as the child of God. Keep yourselves and the love of God. Father, we thank you for the word of God that was preached tonight. Lord, we need to be reminded on a regular basis that you love us. Lord, there's going to be lots of times as humans, we won't feel that you love us. It will feel like you're not near us. It will feel like you don't care about us. And Lord, may we not live by our feelings, but live by the promises of the word of God. Live by the truth of the scriptures. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Lord, may the word of Scripture be our rock and anchor, not our feelings, not our emotions, not the circumstances around us, but may we draw nigh to you and keep ourselves in your great love. Lord, there are many around us who do not know the love of God. There are some who have never heard that God loves them. There are some who do not believe the fact that God loves them. And that he sent his son for them. And that they can know him and have purpose. A reason to live. A will to live. Lord, I pray that we as believers, those who know Christ, that have received the free gift of salvation, would be filled with your love and with your joy. And Lord, we'd not be able to keep it to ourselves. Lord, we'd not be content to just go with what maybe this area is known for. Lord, but that we would be true living examples of the love of Christ. Joy, peace, contentment, a purpose, a calling, a love for others to serve. Oh, Lord, may we be shining lights of your love in this community, Lord, at this time. Oh, Lord, you could come back at any moment. It could be tonight as we're driving home. Lord, I pray we'd be walking with you. We'd be right with you. I pray there'd be no one in the room who has a question that they're not a child of God. And, Lord, we pray that this Christmas season, as folks' hearts are often turned to the Christmas story, they'll know the facts, but they won't really resonate the truth. Oh, Lord, may we share with them the great love of God who sent his only son for them. Lord, thank you for the word of God that was preached tonight. Thank you for the God-honoring music. Thank you for each one that's here. Give safety, Lord, as folks travel, some just a mile or two away, some a long way. And protect them. Give them a good night's rest for this week, Lord. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.